Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. If you haven't already done so, please fill out the friendship register at the end of the row and pass it on down for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us in the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please do drop by and let us know this is your first visit, and we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave here today. Please take a look at your bulletin that you received at the door and note the upcoming committee meetings this week, as well as the wellness group and outreach committee meetings next week. Also, the school supplies collection that we're doing during the month of July, and the upcoming fellowship lunch in a few more weeks to support our local ministry to the school children's weekend food bags. You can find these things also listed in the calendar on the inside pages of your bulletin. There's also a fresh schedule for this week to sign up to drive the Jacobo kiddos to and from school. Thanks for all your support and love for this family. And we also continue to have a freezer available downstairs in the fellowship hall where you can drop off food to help feed the families, a very large frame of the large number of kids. So we appreciate your love and support for the Jacobo family. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
He serves the Lord. Praise his name.
His name will be praised now and forever.
From the east to the west, praise the name of the Lord.
The Lord rules over all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Let us sing hymn number 16, all stanzas. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnets, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise to thee an altar, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wonder how I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you, Paige Jones, for being our acolyte this morning. May we bow in a few moments of prayer. Holy God, we come with humble hearts to share in this privilege of gathering in your house and worshiping in your name, and sharing in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We present ourselves with our deep flaws and sinful nature, knowing that we can be redeemed by our faith in Jesus Christ, by the sacrifice he made because of your desire for us to be reconciled to you. Almighty God, we welcome the presence of Jesus Christ into our midst, and we pray that we might feel intimately the presence of the Holy Spirit as we begin our worship together now. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other to worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as Andrew leads us in singing page 190, stanza 1.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Are we liking that it's a little bit cooler today? Yeah. I like it when it's a little bit cooler. Very humid, though. I have... let me see. You. Huh? She's like, I didn't do it. Now, see, I know... Okay, so that's my daily heart attack. sit still. Or you have to go sit back in the pew if you can't sit still, okay? Okay. All right. Miss Annabelle, I know that you like sports, and you do a lot of sports, so I know that you're strong. So I want you to take this and try and rip it in half. Don't take it apart. Just try and rip it. Well, trust me, you can't do it. I've had people stronger than you try. This is all of these pages here. These are kind of like all of God's promises. And no matter how much we try, whatever we do, God never breaks his promise. Can't break God's promises. No matter how much we don't listen. Yeah. God keeps his promises. No matter what we do, God keeps his promises. And we can't break them. Unlike these little things here, this is kind of like promises that we make. Promise mom to pick up the toys. Promise mom to clean the bedroom. I promised to not talk in Sunday school or church. Miss Page, can you try and tear that for me? Yeah. That's how easy it is for us, even little Miss Anna. Oh, Anna. Abigail. See, I get you all mixed up here. Go ahead, rip it. Yeah. We don't intend to break our promises, but we get sidetracked. When we promise to pick up our toys, then we start playing a game, or we start reading a book, or we start playing with a brother or sister, and we kind of just forget all about those toys that are still all over the floor, or the clothes that are all over the floor, or the papers that are all over the floor. Yeah. Or when we promise that we're going to get along with our brothers and sisters for the whole day. Yeah, that rarely works. I can see all of these eye rolls here going, yeah, right. Because somebody says something or does something, and then you get annoyed, and that there goes the promise out the window, huh? Yep. But no matter how many times we break our promises, God never breaks his. Should we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for always keeping your promises, no matter how many times we break ours. We break our promises to our family and our friends. We even sometimes break our promises to you. And we have to ask your forgiveness. Never once have you or will you ever break a promise to us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. I think I promised my wife yesterday I would empty the dishwasher. Sorry, honey. It's quite a privilege for us to be able to gather here and go to God in prayer as we lift up the needs of our own congregation. We keep Bob Maddox in our prayers as he was hospitalized for a brief period of time for heart concerns. Lois Rapp has been in rehabilitation for pneumonia. Brianna Ralston, who's the granddaughter of Ruth Ann Solomon, continues to undergo testing for a potential heart valve replacement surgery, perhaps in the next several weeks. And Doris O'Neill was admitted on Friday, I think it was Thursday or Friday evening, to St. Luke's Berry Road campus for some observation. Also, Michelle Jacobo, who's been on a prayer list for what seems like forever, as she continues her recovery from surgery for stage 4 cancer, and by all accounts is recovering quite well. We also lift up Jesus and the kids as they continue to tend to her needs during her recovery. There are also a few folks listed in your bulletin who have been on our prayer list for quite some time, as we need to continue to lift them up to the care of our Lord as well. And if you follow the local, national, and world news, you'll no doubt notice the great need for our collective prayers for unity and peace and for acceptance of all of God's children, and prayers for our local, national, and world leaders as they might be guided by the compassion and wisdom of our Lord. And let's especially pray for our armed forces stationed in places far away from their families in the interest of this place called the United States, where we enjoy the freedom to worship God in the way that we deem most meaningful to us. With these things in mind, may we go to God in a word of prayer, but first a few moments of silent prayer and meditation. Gracious and merciful God, we lift a number of our own loved ones here within our church family, as well as those in our workplaces and neighborhoods and extended families and in our various social circles. O Lord, we know we were not designed to live this life in isolation, and indeed, we need each other not only for our happiness and fulfillment, but also for our very survival. Lord, we lift up those who were mentioned as being in need of prayer, but we also lift those whose names were not mentioned, for we know all too well that for every person lifted publicly in prayer, there are many whose names were not mentioned, but need your healing hand on their shoulder and on their soul, despite their silence. Loving God, we know from Matthew 18, verse 20, that where two or three of us are gathered in your name, you will be here with us. So we are quite sure that since there are many more than just two or three here this morning, that you are also very present with us in spirit and in truth. We lift up those who were chosen to lead our cities, our counties, our states, and our countries. And we pray that the needs for the common good of your children might prevail over the enrichment of the few. Remind us, Lord, that we are one in the body of Christ, and that our abundant resources are to be shared so that all people may experience the comfort of your love and the joy of your presence among us. And now may we pray how Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Judy has our scripture readings. Thank you, Judy.
Good morning. Our first scripture today is from Psalms 139, 7 through 10, and you can find that on page 566 in your pew Bible. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. Our second scripture is from Romans 8, 35 through 39, and you can find that on page 1032. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. Sweet my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My soul escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of trust his grace. I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee.
Thank you, Gail, and thank you, Lenora. As those of you who participated in Vacation Bible School a few weeks ago can attest, kids sometimes ask the darndest questions. Isn't that right, Barbara? This year we had a 10-year-old girl ask this question. She said, when Jesus knew he would be crucified, why didn't he just run away? And the questions didn't stop there, because with each response I could muster up, she had a follow-up question that was even harder than the previous. Like this one. If Jesus is God's son, why would God send his own son to die on a cross? I mean, these are some great questions. I looked over at Barb and she had this look on her face like, better you than me. This kid gave us a run for our money. We could look for answers to these and other questions in scriptures, specifically Old Testament prophecies. But mostly, I encourage the children to consider their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ, whose story didn't end on the cross, but now transcends all time. And so I encourage each of you, as we gather here at the Lord's table, that when you hold these emblems of communion in your hand that will be passed to you here in just a few more minutes, that you consider your personal relationship with Jesus Christ as well. May we prepare our hearts for communion as we sing the hymn on page 420, I Come With Joy, we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
I come with joy, a child of God, forgiven, loved, and free. The life of Jesus to recall, in love laid down for me. In love laid down for me. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share, each proud division ends. The love that made us makes us one, and strangers now are friends, and strangers now are friends. Together met, together bound by all that God has done, we'll go with joy to give the world the love that makes us one, the love that makes us one.
Each time we gather here at this table, we remember words of Scripture that say that on the night of Jesus' betrayal, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and when he given thanks for it, told his disciples, "This is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. As often as you drink from this cup, do this in remembrance of me." And in the words of the Apostle Paul, this means that each time you take of this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow in prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the privilege we have to come around this table. And this morning we think of your birth, we think of your life, we think of your death on Calvary, and we think of your resurrection. And because of your resurrection, we have hope for eternal and everlasting life. And we ask you to bless these emblems for the nourishment of our spiritual body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God, and you're invited to share them freely now.
Thank you.
A few years ago, I had another child ask me this question. Since God created everything in this world, why does he need for us to send him money? Can't he just create his own? So to be so innocent and unexposed to the ways of the world, I have no idea how I answered that question way back then. But the truth is, God doesn't need our money because money has no value in heaven. What God does need from us, from each of us, is to care about all of his children, and especially those who have a greater need than ours. Berea Christian Church supports a number of ministries, both in our community as well as around the world. We don't make a profit here. Once our basic bills are paid, your tithes and offerings go to help a number of these outreach ministries. So as we prepare to present our tithes and offerings, may we ask for God's guidance in a moment of prayer.
Dear God, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given us, and we thank you for the giving spirit of this loving congregation. We ask that you would bless this offering and guide us in the use of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lord God, may these offerings be used to the glory of your kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. You know you're getting older when you have to have a separate pair of glasses for different tasks. So now I can see my notes, I just can't see you. It's always a privilege to be with you in this role while Pastor Dennis and Carrie are off on a well-deserved vacation for the next few weeks. If you've been here before when I've done this, you might remember I like to begin with a little icebreaker story. This one goes like this. These two fellas are going down the highway at a high rate of speed, and they wound up in heaven. Lord walks up and says, "Hi, fellas." They say, "Hi, Lord." Lord says, "Welcome to heaven." They say, "Thank you, Lord." The Lord says, "Any complaints?" First guy says, "No." Other guy says, "One." Lord says, "What?" And the fella says, "Well, we're pretty young, and that wreck back there was pretty quick, and well, there's just some stuff I'd like to have done before I got here." Lord says, "Okay, well, you guys have been pretty good guys, so I'll tell you what. Each of you pick out one thing you'd like to go back and do, and I'll send you back down for a week and you can go do it. Then I'll come back and get you. First guy says, well, Lord, that's awful generous of you. You know, I've always wanted to fly. I think it'd be pretty cool to be an eagle. Lord says, whoosh, back he goes. The second guy standing there, he's kind of digging his toe in the dirt a little bit, and he says, well, Lord, this is kind of embarrassing. Lord says, well, what is it you think I don't know and haven't heard? Guy says, oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, Lord, I've been a wimp all my life, and just once, I'd like to be a real stud. So, for those of you who were born after the 1970s, stud was the term back in those days used to describe a good-looking and usually a well-built man. We all wanted to be the studly guys and have the muscle cars and that sort of thing. Lord says, okay, whoosh, just like that, he was gone. So a week goes by, and the Lord remembers those guys that he gave another week to, and the Lord calls to his angel and says, yo, Ralph. Angel's name was Ralph. So Ralph comes. Lord says, hey, listen, remember those guys we gave that week to? Ralph says, yes, sir. Lord says, go get them. Ralph says, okay, where are they at? Lord says, well, the one that wanted to be the eagle, he's out floating over the Grand Canyon. Ralph says, that's great, Lord. Where's the guy that wanted to be the stud? Lord says, oh, him. Well, he's a 2x4 behind some drywall in Atlanta, Georgia. So about 15 years ago, I signed up for the role of storyteller at Vacation Bible School. I actually only signed up for that role once, but somehow it kept getting my name assigned to it every year, thanks to Anna Ekrit, sitting back there smirking in the back row. I do enjoy telling Bible stories, and I try to make them kind of fun so that folks can remember them. So I want to tell a few Bible stories today to illustrate a few examples of people who have tried to run away from God. Running away from God. Spoiler alert, folks, it didn't work. So I'm guessing y'all know the story of Jonah and the whale, right? It's either a whale or a really big fish, not sure which, but either way it was huge. So Jonah is this guy in a boat. He's trying to get away from the Lord. The Lord told him to do something and he didn't want to do it. So he was splitting off in the other direction. So God sent a great big fish along, swallowed Jonah like a big gulp, or took him off, took him for 3 days on the first all air-conditioned submarine ride, nonstop service, all the way over to Nineveh, where he was delivered to the shore using the first automatic eject system. You won't find those details in the Bible. When you're the storyteller, you get to ad lib a little bit. So there was Jonah lying up there on the beach, big soggy mess. Now, you might think the imagery here is kind of crude, but as far as I'm concerned, that's just good staging. Because can you imagine that Ninevite fisherman? He's standing on the shore surf fishing, just enjoying his day, casting his line out in the water, humming a happy tune. Ba-ba-boom. Told his wife he was going to work, but then he called in sick to go fishing. Anyway, so he's out there just fishing away, and he hears this sound off in a distance. Blah, splat. You probably never heard that sound from this microphone before. Blah, splat. And that was the sound of Jonah arriving at the beach. And then our fisherman hears this sound. That's the sound of sloshing footsteps. And they're getting closer and closer. Then they stop. And so that Ninevite fisherman turns around, and there standing next to him is a guy who's been in the belly of a whale for 3 days. He's bleached completely white by the gases in the whale's stomach. His clothes are half-digested, and he's got a big chunk of half-chewed seaweed stuck right there. And Jonah looks at this guy and he says, "Repent." Now, what would you do? What would you do if you were that fisherman? Yeah, I'd repent. Mm-hmm. Well, it seemed to work pretty good there in Nineveh because they all repented too. They repented and got right with God, and God spared them. You probably never heard the story of Jonah told in that quite that way. But really, you know, sometimes you just got to read the Bible and accept what it says for face value. We could go a whole lot deeper in a story and discuss the theological metaphors and parallels to ancient texts and analyze the rubrics and all that jazz, but I'm not a seminary-trained theologian or even a preacher. I'm just a simple storyteller. I kind of like it that way, too. So Saul is a fella in the New Testament that was also running in the other direction, away from God, kind of like Jonah was doing back in the Old Testament. Saul's walking along this road on his way over to Damascus. He'd already been up to see the high priest, and he got written permission to officially mess with anybody he encountered who claimed to be believers in Jesus. The Bible says that while he was walking along that road, he was breathing out murderous threats. Imagine that, breathing out murderous threats. This was the first documented case of road rage. Just minus the car. I mean, this is some industrial strength anger, folks. If there was ever a poster child for a mandated court-ordered intervention for anger management therapy, it would have been this guy named Saul. So what did God do? God hits him with a lightning bolt, knocks him down. He literally hit the road. Down he goes. And that was just the attention getter, because right after the lightning bolt appeared a vision of Jesus, who was about to have a little conversation with Saul. Now, Saul wasn't traveling alone. He had a few other guys up there with him on this little road trip, and they heard the sound of the lightning bolt, but they couldn't see the vision of Jesus that Saul was talking to. Only Saul could see that. I always wonder what went through these guys' minds as they watched their friend Saul stumbling around down there having a rather spirited conversation with someone only he could see. Imagine that scene. I think if that happened in modern times, they'd all be on their cell phones looking for the nearest psychiatric hospital. So now Saul's having this little discussion with Jesus. Jesus says, "Hey, what's up, man? Why are you doing this to me? What did I ever do to you?" Well, actually, what he said was, "Why have you forsaken me?" But again, when you're the storyteller, you get to ad lib. So the Lord turned Saul into a blind man, sent him up to a house, and told him to stay put there for a few days. Then the Lord goes and hits up another fellow named Ananias. He told him he needed to go pay Saul a visit. But Ananias was no dummy. He knew all about Saul's reputation, and he knew that Christians were in season with this guy. So Ananias says, "No." But God said, "Go." And by the way, that's literal from Acts 9, verse 13. The first word out of God's mouth was, "Go." Exclamation point. So Ananias did what God told him to do, and he helped convert Paul into a valuable instrument to the ministry of Jesus Christ. You've heard of Paul. He wrote a bunch of books in the New Testament. See, God has a way of getting folks to make a 180-degree life turnaround. And when God has his mind set that you're the one he wants to do something, well, good luck running away from that. So there's other Bible stories as well of folks who tried to run the other direction when God told them to do something. Noah, for example, didn't want to build that ark at first. And Moses argued with God about his ability to be the leader that God asked him to be. But I want to shift gears just a little bit, and I want to share a bit of a personal story about a time that I thought about running away from God. It was late 2012. I decided I no longer wanted to do this religion thing or this church thing. I was ready to start spending my Sunday mornings at home, drinking coffee and reading the newspaper. But just a few days before Christmas of 2012, I became sicker than I've ever been. Within minutes, I developed a fever of something like 140 degrees. I had the most intense abdominal pains I've ever felt. And at that time, I knew a little bit about abdominal pain because just a few years before that, my appendix had ruptured. But this time was worse. And so I asked my wife to call for an ambulance. When the paramedics arrived, they helped me kind of wobble my way onto the stretcher. One of them said, "Sir, you're really hot." I was flattered. But then I figured out she was referring to my fever. At the North Kansas City emergency room, an ultrasound determined that I had a blood clot. There was a blood clot in my hepatic artery, and it was choking the blood supply to a few critical organs, like my liver. It's kind of a critical organ, right? So they put me on a second ambulance, sent me off to KU Med Center, to the surgical ICU under the care of the liver transplant team. Now, folks, when your ER doctor says there's nothing he can do and it ships you off to another hospital's ICU under the care of an organ transplant team, well, you know you have a little something more than just a simple case of constipation or heartburn. Well, they figured out after some testing and such that my gallbladder had gotten bumped off by the blood clot, and so when they removed it, it had already become gangrenous, which of course explains the pain and the fever. And that surgery was the day before Christmas Eve 2012. Then on Christmas Day, I was finally moved from the surgical ICU to a regular hospital room, minus the gallbladder. And for the first time in 5 days, I was able to walk around. Wasn't tethered to that big monstrosity of machines and monitors. And I had access to a real window. You know, when you can't look out a window for 5 days, you kind of miss it. And just a few blocks south of KU Med Center, there on Rainbow Boulevard, is a church with a beautiful stained glass window in the shape of a cross. It's about the same size as our own huge stained glass window here, and it was lit up beautifully on that Christmas night. I realized that night that I was going to be okay. They sent me home a couple days later. I didn't need a liver transplant. I wasn't swallowed by a whale. I didn't get hit by a lightning bolt. But God had his way of getting my attention. And to that I say, well played, sir. And just in case y'all hadn't noticed, I never did leave the church. I'm still here. I want to close with this story. Sent to me by a friend who claimed to be an atheist, who decided to reject God, run away from God, due to the lack of scientific proof of his existence. It goes like this. A scientist came up to God one day and said, "Hey, listen, God, we've decided we don't need you anymore. These days we can clone people, transplant organs, and do all sorts of things that used to be considered miraculous." God replied, "Oh yeah? Don't need me, huh? How about we put your little theory to the test? Why don't we have a friendly competition to see who can make a human being? Male or female, your choice." Scientists agree, so God declares they should do it like he did in the good old days when he created Adam and Eve. "All right, fine," says the scientist. And he bends down to scoop up a little handful of dirt. "Whoa," says God. "Not so fast there, boy. Go get your own dirt." So, folks, I want to issue an invitation to you. If you don't yet have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe today is the day that you begin that journey. We'd love to have you join us here at Berry Christian Church, where we could arrange for your baptism in the Holy Spirit, perhaps next Sunday. Maybe you've been running away from God for a while and you're ready to come back home. We would welcome you into our church home. Perhaps you've already been baptized and wish to transfer your membership from a previous church. You would also be welcome to join our church family here at Berry based on your previous confession of faith and your baptism. So if you feel God calling you to be a part of this church family, would you please come forward and meet me here at the front As we sing our hymn of invitation, I'd be honored to welcome you here and to lead you through that great confession first spoken by the disciple Peter. Please stand then as we sing hymn number 348, More About Jesus, What I Know. We'll sing verses 1 and 4.
About Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. About Jesus on his throne, riches in glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
Well, folks, thank you for your presence here in the Lord's house this morning, and thank you for putting up with me. I feel honored and privileged to be in this place with you this morning. May I share a quick closing story and then a closing prayer? The story is this. I believe churches are meant for praising God, but so are 2 a.m. car rides, showers, coffee shops, the gymnasium, park benches, front porches, dinner tables, conversations with friends and family, and even strangers. Don't let this building confine your faith, because we will never change the world by just going to church. We need to be the church. And now may we pray. Lord, we are indeed grateful for our time together this morning, and as we journey forward into the new week, we pray for your guidance and your wisdom that we might live our lives in the ways you intended for us to live, so that we might bring glory to your kingdom here on earth. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. May we go in peace.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is now. In mansions of glory and endless sea,